Hey everybody, this is Ricky with Beers of Asian Nerds. Wanted to do a quick little video. It's been about a week and a half since I did my last video. My last video was about kind of 2019 review and beer. And this time of the year has just kind of kicked my ass. We've had two holidays, a birthday, a friend's holiday thing. It's just been a little rough. I am now realizing why professional YouTubers end up taking time off around this time. So, let's talk about, this is jumping into this episode. I'm going to try to knock this out in under 30. The last couple episodes got a little long and I don't want to do that again. So let's talk about the beer I've had over, I think this is all since last time I recorded. There's a chance I'm overlapping a little bit. Oh, bummer. There's a chance I'm overlapping a little bit, but I don't think that's the case. So, this is going to be, the first beer I'm going to talk about is the only negative beer experience I had in the last, I mean, it's been a while. It's been a long time since I've had a bad beer. Most of the time, even when I have an okay beer, I'm not going to give it a bad rating or bad review. This is going to be the first time in a while since I've had a beer that I thought was bad enough to dumb down the drain. Sweetwater Brewery, I think is what it's called, is a brewery I feel like I've had before because they have a very specific look. It's like it's a fish with a bone. It's a bone skeleton of a fish. I had the Sweetwater 420 strain chocolate stout, and it was awful. It was just bad. Just hands down, 100% not a good beer. It had, if you smelled it, it smelled like walking next to any weed shop or anywhere in downtown Seattle, realistically. But if you walk by a weed shop, that very strong, pungent smell that hits your face, it's not from people who smoke it, it's just the smell of the actual plant itself. And it's, then you take a sip of it, and it tastes just like you would imagine. It tastes like licking the inside of a wrapper of a chocolate edible. And that's what it tastes like. And for a beer, it's not what I want by any means. I overall am just not a fan of what it tastes like. I got like a sip or two in, and then I was like, I felt like I was maybe overjudging it. But instead, as I went through like two more sips, I had to dump it. I was done. We were splitting one bottle between three people, and it's a 12-ounce bottle, and I don't think we finished it off. I think we ended up dumping it. Seth and Isaac were both at first kind of like, oh, this is not a terrible beer. But as it went on, they were just like, can't drink it. It's not good. And I agree. It was a terrible, terrible beer. I don't usually get that negative on beer. So, one thing I've been doing a lot more of, instead of, buying the big bottles of barrel aged stuff, I've been trying to grab smaller bottles of barrel aged or cans. And there's a lot of good beer in the barrel age world, that's about, you know what? I had a 12 ounce and I've had a couple 16 ounces, which would be just in the same size as a glass bottle. And I've just been trying to avoid the expensive one. Basically, my goal is to come in at like a $10 price or less on a can of beer or a bottle of beer. I've broke that a little bit, gone up to like the 15 range, and that still feels okay. It's when you get past 15 where I'm starting to feel like I don't want to keep spending that much money on beer. So I've been trying to, when I see an opportunity to grab a beer I want to try at either a bottle shop, it's been more often than not been a bottle shop or a tap room. I haven't been to the breweries as much to be able to try this stuff, but bottle shop, tap room, I've been trying to try those things. We went to, on New Year's Eve, we went to Edison, my wife and I went to Edison City Ale House and tried Fremont Dark Star Coffee 2019 and Bob-omb 2019, and they're both excellent. I want to buy those, but I don't want to buy big bottles of them. If they start releasing those in cans or smaller bottles, I'm all over it. Like today, I bought a KBS Espresso just because I wanted to try it, but $6 for a 12-ounce bottle, which is a great price for any kind of barrel age. And I think the barrel age game has overinflated, and I'm going to make the argument, the reason I think that's the case is it's not overinflated, I'm going to say oversaturated. At this point, you could go to Tacoma Boys, Edison City Ale House, I believe Peaks and Pints, and Pint Defiance, and find almost all of the Fremont beers of the barrel age. I saw the Dark Star for sure at most of those places. I saw at least two of the Bob-ombs. I'm pretty sure I saw the third Bob-omb. And at Tacoma Boys, I've seen two of the, what's the Chicago one? Goosehead Island. For a while, I saw the Anchorage one, the barley wine mixed with Imperial Stout, which $35 for a small 12-ounce bottle. Hard pass. So maybe my next video will be, or one of my next couple of videos will be, we'll talk about the oversaturation. The challenge will be, the best I could do is kind of talk about it. I don't know, and it'd be anecdotal evidence. I don't think I could find hard evidence that saturation is, that's oversaturated. I don't know how I would do that. I gotta think on that, because I do want to, I think that would be an excellent topic, and maybe I could do, I don't have enough followers on Twitter. I need to really try to get people on Instagram to help me out, and Instagram is hit or miss when it comes to, like, interaction, so I don't know, I gotta think about that. I'm gonna try to figure that out, because that would be a cool topic. On the topic of barrel-aged beers, we got a grab bottle for my wife's birthday, the Epic Big Bad Baptiste Peanut Butter Cup. Excellent. It was one of the best peanut butter cup beers I've had. I've had a bunch, and typically what ends up happening is you get a peanut butter stout, imperial, barrel-aged, it doesn't matter. You get a sip and a half in, and you're like, cool, this is good. I don't want it anymore, because it's too rich, and it's just kind of weird. The same thing with me, and I would say spicy beers or jalapeno beers. You get that point where you're like, oh, cool, that tastes just like a jalapeno. And then you're like, but I don't want to drink it. What am I going to do with this? I don't want a whole bottle of jalapeno beer. So typically that's what happens with the peanut butter cup stout ones. This one was different. You had a strong peanut butter smell to it, and the final note was peanut buttery. But before that, it was a nice chocolatey, rich beer. The best way I can think of it is, like, if you took a big old chunk of dark chocolate and just threw the smallest amount of peanut butter in there. Not a ton of peanut butter, just a little bit, where you still get the nice creamy peanut butter taste, but it's not like a punch in your face. And like this goes for like the peanut butter YOLO that came from Narrows. That beer was excellent, but man, I think we split a 5 ounce. I got like an ounce and a half in, and I was like, I don't want any more. This is too much. And it's just too rich, and it's too crazy for me. So this was, I think, a relatively good balance of peanut butter stout. Speaking of Epic, Big Bad Baptiste, we went to Peaks and Pints and grabbed a couple beers. One of them was the hazelnut latte version of that. I liked it a lot. It was a really good beer. And I mean, it didn't necessarily remind me of hazelnut. I will say it had like the creaminess of like it reminded me of a latte. I didn't get as much of a hazelnut, but it was a great, excellent barrel-aged beer. Also had an Omnipolo. I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. It starts with an H. It was like a marshmallowy something stout. It was really good. The challenge was I grabbed them both and we tried the barrel age, or I tried one and then we tried the other, and it was really hard to go back the other because the barrel age was so much more potent. It would have been better to grab the one Omnipolo, drink that, and then get the barrel age, and then it would be easier to not look at that and go, well, this one's garbage. And it's not. It was a really good beer. Omnipolo is an excellent brewery, but in comparison to to the barrel age, it was not as good. I think that covers, on New Year's Eve, we went over to Camp Bar in Tacoma, which is an excellent, like, I'm gonna throw it out there, New Year's Eve, Camp Bar is the best. The location's not typically too busy. This year they did a karaoke thing. It was great. We got there at 7. We didn't have to pay the cover, which is $5, which is a cheap cover for any kind of New Year's Eve thing. The prices of their alcohol really are not bad at all. My wife had 3 alcoholic beverages. I had a beer, and we had tater tots, and I think we spent under $30. And then they do this special champagne for $13 for a full bottle of champagne. So it's a really good thing for a New Year's Eve. Oh, fuck. And then they have a burger for $7. I mean, and it looked like a great burger. I didn't have it, but when my friends had it, my other friends, Allison and Michael, they had a... What the F was that? Oh, they had like 10 drinks, and I think three or four of them were doubles, and they ended up paying less than $50 or just over $50 for those drinks. And that was after we switched out waitresses, and they ended up spending, I think another $30. So they spent $80 that night, but they had a ton of drinks. So, I mean, it's just Camp Bar, cool. Go check it out. Great for New Year's Eve, but great for all the time anyways. Let's see. I think that covers... Oh, I was going to say the last big thing of drinking was we had a Friendsgiving. Friendsgiving, we get together, we celebrate Christmas and all the holidays together. We do a Secret Santa. Instead of all of us buying presents for each other, we do like one present for one person. It's a lot of fun. We went to Seattle to visit our friends up there since they have a kid, they have to drive down. It's kind of a hassle, so we all drove up there. They're in a great beer location. It's going to be a little less great in the very, very near future when Urban Family moves, but they're close enough to Urban Family that it's a killer beer area. But that day we split. I started talking about Camp Bar. I'm so stupid. Camp Bar, and I'll lead this into the Friendsgiving. I had an Icicle Bootjack. That was the first other, I think I tried Icicle at Beer Fest, but the only other Icicle I've had before that is memorable is the Dark Persuasion, which is excellent. But the Bootjack IPA, awesome IPA. They make a really good IPA. I'm glad to try, because their big beer is the Dark Persuasion, which is and I had this at the Friendsgiving. I was going to try to transition it. It's not important. It's a German chocolate cake porter or stout. I don't know which one. I think it's a porter. And it's excellent. It's a great porter. It has great flavor. It comes in a bomber. It's cheap. It's like $6 for a bomber. It's a really good price for what is a really solid beer. But that's the only beer I've really had by them that's been memorable. And then I had the Bootjack, and I was like, this is a great IPA. I can't wait to try their beer. Like, there's some places that do, like, a really good special one, like, quirky beer. And then you try their other stuff, and I'm like, yeah, they're okay. Like, I can't think of a great example of that right now, but just trust me. That exists. They are not that. They're not one trick pony, which is cool. We also had Elysian Men's Room Red. I'm not a huge fan of Elysian. It's not even because they're owned by a big conglomerate. I honestly don't care less that they're owned by that. They're just an okay beer for me. The Men's Room Red is dripping with Seattle lore, which is cool, but I don't care about the Men's Room that much. I've tried to listen to them a couple times. I'm just not a fan. They're from a time period that I've never really been a big part of. I've never I love podcasts and I love podcasting, but I've never been that interested in shock jock radio type thing or whatever you call it, or like the Howard Sterns. I've just never been that interested in that stuff. So, the Elysian Men's Room Red, I think the problem with Elysian for me, when it comes to their IPAs, they're a little too hoppy typically. Everyone loves Space Dust. I think it's a fine IPA. It's not a great IPA. It's not a bad IPA. I'm not against taking it to a party. I'm not against drinking at a party. I'm not against drinking their beer. I just think there's better local beer than Elysian. But I also understand why people love Elysian. So, Elysian's Men's Red, it's fine. It's nothing special. It's a little, I think it's too hoppy for a red. And I think reds tend to kind of be either like a really nice, mild IPA or like a really pungent IPA. And it just depends on what you get. A Dark Persuasion, excellent. German Chocolate Porter, Silver City, Ripe and Juicy, double IPA. Like I said, I don't think Silver City has done anything ever that I don't like. So Silver City, excellent beer. Odin Thor's Equinox, I believe it's a Belgian Dark Ale. And it's really good. Like I'm a big fan of like CDAs and stuff like that. I don't buy them as often as I should, but they're a really good beer, and it's a nice kind of middle ground between like an ale and like a porter or stout. It usually gets like a good like malty flavor, but it's not like drinking a chocolate shake, if you know what I mean. I mean, if you get that kind of middle ground. So I believe that covers most of my beer. I know there's a couple, like I know I had a Fremont 12 ounce, and I'm gonna talk more about 12 ounces coming next week and maybe a little bit in this, but I want to jump into like my goals for 2020. So first beer goal, or not even beer goal, just first goal in general. I started doing my goals list for 2020, and it's a nightmare, and it's split up into multiple levels, and it's so much stuff. It's way more stuff than I'll ever be able to accomplish. And my list from 2020 or 2019, I did pretty good on. I missed a lot, but I also hit a bunch. So I'm trying to make it more realistic, but major goal for 2020 is to do this, more of this, whatever this is, a vlog, a podcast, a single podcast, whatever you want to call it, one host podcast or a vlogcast or a vlog or some kind of thing. I want to keep doing more stuff like this. I think I'm going to keep up. My Instagram is doing good. I'm trying to understand Twitter, and I want to do more blogging and actually like type out stuff. And the problem is every time I sit down and start typing, I just kind of get in my head and I don't feel great about it. Like I do Yelp and that's easy for me to do, but like when I'm like, let's type something out, that's somewhat meaningful. I kind of shut down and kind of lose my confidence a little bit, because I know I'm not really good at writing. I'm okay at talking. I'm not great at writing because I write faster than my thoughts come out properly. So it ends up kind of jumbled. Plus, I think people are more interested in watching video than reading a blog post, but I would still like to blog a little. So, making more content, beer related, movie related, video game related, TV related, it doesn't matter. I just want to make content. I just want to do stuff like this. And I know, like I've always said, when it comes to beer, I just want to eventually get to a point where someone's sending me some free beer every once in a while, or sending me some free shirts and stuff like that. That's all I really want to get to when it comes to beer world. So my goal is to do more content. There's some other things about that surround that. I'm going to call them like, they're not necessarily full on other goals, but they're like sub goals. I'm going to get to those because the next one is going to be pretty beefy. This is going to take up probably most of my time. I want to visit more breweries. I like drinking at breweries and tap rooms more than I should like drinking at home. When I drink at home, I grab a 16-ounce IPA. I drink by myself, or I split a beer for my wife, and those are great moments, but most of the time it's just me grabbing a 16-ounce IPA and drinking on my own. My goal is to go out with people and just grab a beer with them, and I love doing that. And it's a little tough in January because it's dry January for a lot of people, it's not just breweries. It's breweries, tap rooms, and beer fest. I love beer fest because I get to try a bunch of different things, and that's where I'm at. Like, I don't need a full can of beer. I just want to try a 5-ounce pour of every beer in the world. That's my main goal. And then if I find one that I love, I'll grab some to go. But my goal is to hit more breweries. So first, let's start local. I found out there's like 10 local breweries around me. I was going to list them all off. The ones I've, like, if I look for like a 30-minute window, it's between roughly Olympia in here. Olympia is probably like 35 minutes. And Seattle, if I go like southern Seattle, like in Georgetown area, where Lowercase is at, and Culmination, and not Culmination, I'm sorry, Lowercase and Counterbalance and Machine House and Jellyfish and Georgetown Brewing Air, I have like 10 breweries in that area. Most of them I've never heard of. The only two I've heard of is Future Primitive, Four Horsemen, and Georgetown Brewing. And the rest of these are just ones I've never heard of. And I didn't know how close they were. Some of them aren't super close. Some of them are far east. But nonetheless, I should go visit these breweries. So those are some of the local ones I want to try that are new. And I think I could get through most of this list this year, depending on how I like kind of spend my weekends. I think I could hit up most of these places, which would be cool. And it just very dependent on what our weekends look like, what my wife wants to do. But, I mean, realistically, if I end up working from home one day, I might take a trip up to one of these places and just work from a brewery for the day. But one of those places that I didn't know about was Railhoppin, which is right next to the Auburn train station. And I bike from work to the Auburn train station on a regular basis. So it's actually kind of weird and embarrassing that I had no clue that was there. So I'm going to try to hit some of those. But in the same note, I love hitting the local breweries around here. I went through that list of like Tacoma breweries 2 episodes ago, and I would love to start hitting, I mean, I'd hit them pretty regularly, but to hit E9, I can't wait for the time where I'm like hitting E9 and Odd Otter and everything else as often as possible again. And it's a little easier when spring and summer rolls around, but just getting back into that pattern and then still hitting the local bottle shop. So that's like a big goal. I have a couple trips planned in mind. California for sure. I think we're going down to Disneyland this sometime, springish. There's 3 breweries pretty close together that I know I could hit, which is Green Cheek, the brewery. And the brewery is Brewery. They do like the bakery barrel aged stouts. And then you have Bottle Logic. Those are all pretty close together, so I know I can hit all 3 of those. Bottle Logic, I'm planning on grabbing some bottles or some cans or whatever they have on stock at the time because they're awesome and I only get to try them when I go to Disneyland. And then Noble L Works, I heard, is like one of the best local breweries that no one talks about that I need to hit. But the one I really want to do that's going to take about 45 minutes to drive from, and I think I could do one beer brewery like that, is Monkish Brewery. So that's my goal for California. I plan some trips on California to Oregon. And when I go to Oregon, I want to try... This last time I went, we chose Brothers Cascadia, but this time I'll try a Trapdoor on the way in or out. Plus, then there's a ton of breweries. Portland is just litter of breweries I haven't tried. I really want to make a trip up to Bellingham. I've a couple friends up there I haven't seen forever that I would love to see again. And if I do, I want to check out Wander and Structure. But I mean, just going up to Bellingham to see them would be pretty awesome. Seattle has a ton of breweries I haven't seen. And I'm talking pretty, like some ones I really should have visited by now. Like Pike Brewing, I've had their beer. They have great beer. I've never been to the brewery for some reason. I've walked by and around and I think through the brewery, but I've never actually been to their brewery. And that seems like a goddamn shame. Optimism Brewing, I've heard, is okay. But from an Instagram person, they said they had a couple beers out that were really worth trying. So I want to check them out. Poppy Lux, I've seen that one pop up a bunch like on Twitter and stuff like that, but I've never really heard of them. Ravina Brewing, I feel like I've heard of them also, but they're another one that kind of I've completely missed. And then Two Beer Brewing, I know Two Beer falls into that weird category of people don't really like them. You know what? I guess I don't know if Elysian's actually owned by another company. I thought they were, and now when I think about it, I think Two Beers is supposed to be like one of the only Seattle breweries that's actually owned by like one of the ABV or, but they're not even owned by that one. They're owned by this French company. Either way, they fall in like that weird category of they're not an actual craft brewery because they're owned by a third party. But I like a lot of their beers and I would love to try their stuff. So the big thing of 2020 is I want to visit as many breweries as possible. I have one of my goals is to do a new beer event. And luckily the other day we kind of nailed down that we're going to Strange Brewfest. I'll be cool because we got to visit with some friends like my buddy Seth and Lizzie from Olympia. I love hanging out with them and it'll be a good opportunity to kick with them. And beer fests are always more fun with more people because you could try a lot of different beers. And beer fests, there's Strange Brewfest, you're not going to drink a ton of any one beer. You're going to try a bunch of beers and be like, oh, I don't need more of that and stuff along those lines. So that's goal number three and it's kind of knocked off. But if I was to add to that, I would love, love, love hit the Oregon Brewer Fest. It's like a 5-day beer festival that starts with like a waffle walk or something like that. And I would love to take the time to knock that out. Because that's a true bucket list, is to hit that brew fest for a couple days, like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or something like that. Another goal is to, I'm going to say, get a new podcast crew. I thoroughly enjoyed doing the podcast with my friends. It just got, there was a couple things clear about the podcast. And one was partially my fault. I put way too much of the stress on myself to kind of do this thing. Well, no, let's start from the beginning real quick. I got time. One, we picked a stupid name. We went at it from the completely wrong idea. What we should have done is picked a name. Like, we had a name in mind from the beginning that we should have just went with. And it was a dumb inside joke, but we should have just done it because it was two beers and a haircut, because it's like the biggest inside joke that I'm pretty sure we talked about at once during ad nauseum in the podcast. It was a dumb joke, but we should have went with it because one, we all thought it was hilarious. Two, our wives and significant others all thought it was hilarious, and we should have just done it. We should have just done it. But we went for this stupid idea of going, what's available on social media? The problem is none of us do social media. The only person on social media is me. And that's just, it was, especially at that time, was Instagram. So why did it matter if we were available on every social media? And I know what the problem is I went into the podcast going, we're going to become famous and we're going to get free stuff and we're going to brand our stuff. And it was the dumbest way to go about it. We should never have done that. It just didn't make sense. We weren't going to do anything. We had nothing going. We were just some dudes making a podcast. So that was issue number one, is we picked a dumb name, Sip and Tell, and it was the dumbest name. No one liked it from the beginning, and we stuck with it until I was like, this is dumb. I'm changing it to Beers of Aging Nerds. And that's kind of where we're at now. Number two is I just took too much responsibility on myself, and we didn't really know what to do from the beginning. Like, we were streaming at first, and it's like the idea of streaming was great, but the real reality was we would start doing it like 6 or 11 o'clock in the afternoon. We didn't have like a lockdown schedule, and there was no real reason to live stream the podcast until we got like, it'd be one thing if like we did it for a year and we had 100 people who were interested in a podcast. It's like, oh yeah, let's live stream, and then we could talk to our fans. We had no fans. Who were we talking to? What was our goal? So we should have been live streamed the beginning. And then I think the biggest mistake I made, honestly, was picking the equipment that I didn't want to. I feel like I'm saying that wrong, but we should have picked. I was looking at podcast equipment, and the idea was to have like separate mics and stuff like that. But setting up the mics was such a pain in the butt. The mics I have would be perfect if I had a podcast studio. But then I bought these arms, and I mean, it was just like every decision I made was like the wrong decision when it came to buying podcast equipment. What I should have bought from the beginning, and it would have been a little more expensive, would have been the Zune 4N, or the H4N, or whatever it's called. And it's a directional mic that has, you could replace the directional mic and a slot, and there's a slot on the bottom, so you could plug in four mics. So we could have done the same setup we had with a single device that's this big, which means we wouldn't have had to stream it through a laptop that I was using. And my laptops were always work laptops, which meant there was weird power settings and stuff on there. And it was never, I mean, it's a laptop is never as powerful as a desktop. And it's one thing to be filming on a desktop versus trying to film for people on laptop. Like, even now, you can see that my camera's not good enough to, and my computer's not good enough to not have that weird aliasing and like kind of drag. That would happen on my laptops too. And it was just a pain in the butt, and it just never really worked right. So, bought the wrong equipment. My next 2 point basically is find a new podcast crew. I'm going to stick with the name I have. Even if it's just a new dude who wants to film with me, that'd be great. But I want someone local who's committed to beer like I am and who's willing to like really take on part of the podcast. Even if it's just promoting, just anything, just promoting the podcast. And so new crew, new gear. I want to get the Zune or the Tascam sooner than later. I think my digital camera is not bad. I need to play with it more. But I think I could film the video on there and it'll be okay. And so I could do my video and my thing from something that's a little more mobile. And I don't need to bring a laptop around and stuff like that. So that's my goal. Those are two of my goals. And then the last one, and I know this is kind of counter of what I'm doing, I need to drink less beer. And I'm terrible example this weekend is because I drank a good amount of beer and I got Beer Fest in a couple weeks. But I need to drop about 15 pounds, and my goal is realistically about 25 pounds before the year gets too deep. And the reason is I have a lot of hobbies outside of beer. And I mean, is beer even a hobby? That is a real question. But I have a lot of hobbies outside of beer that beer get in the way of because I need to lose some weight, and beer is definitely counter of that. Now, my goal is about 48 ounces a week, which I talked about it at the top of the podcast. Part of what I want to do is start drinking 12-ounce beers versus 16-ounce beers. I could get 4 12-ounce beers in my 48 ounces, plus it'll cost me about $8 at Tops versus slamming down. If I grab 4 16-ounce beers and I drink them over a weekend, that's 64 ounces of beer, which is a good chunk of beer, and then it'll cost me about $20. So I'm going to slim down by drinking smaller beers, which I've already done at Beer Fest, or not Beer Fest, but like breweries. When I go tap rooms, I usually ask for a 5-ounce or a 10-ounce. If I get a 10-ounce pour, I'm satisfied for sure. And I might do 2 10-ounce pours, which is 20 ounces versus 32 ounces if I did 2 60-ounce pours. So I'm going to drink a little less beer and be smarter about the beer I get. And then when I do buy a 16-ounce beer, it's going to be something that's a little more special. So with, I guess, we're going to call this 6A, less beer FOMO. I have, there's, I, last year I did a bunch of trades and I got to try a bunch of beers that I've never been able to try, and it was awesome. And I know there's, I have a handful of beers on that list still of stuff I want to try. Like, I would love to try something from North, was it Northeast 450 or 450 Northeast? But they're also in like a weird controversy where they basically put out juice and said it was beer. It was like 3% alcohol juice. And they're like, it's a 6% beer. And people are like, this isn't even close to a 6% beer. And now they're in the weird controversy. So they're lower on the list. And I'm not going out of my way to trade for them. But then there's Monkish. I had one. It was great. I should go visit the brewery. I'm not going to come back with a ton of beer from them, but I'll come back with something. The only brewery that I really haven't tried that I've always wanted to try from is Other Half Brewing, and that's the New York-based brewery. I got Toppling Goliath last year and Bearded Iris, but, like, Other Half Brewing's that one, like, echelon of beer that I haven't got to. I've tried everything else. I haven't had a ton of it, but I had a Trillium. I've had, like, three different treetops or treehouses. I've had one Monkish. I've hit Pliny the Elder. I've had some monster beers last year, and I can't go back to that because the trading is so much more work than I want to do. But I think there's a handful of beers I'm like, I want to try it. So, like, Heady Topper is one. I actually had, that was the other one. I didn't have, oh man, I would have to look at my Instagram. There's one I had that I was super excited to try. And there's a strawberry version of that I'd put on the list for Heady Topper. Pliny the Younger, I don't think it's going to happen. I know they're starting to bottle. There's not a chance I'm going to see a Pliny the Younger this year. Maybe next year I'll see Pliny the Younger. What I'm hoping is when I'm in California, I could search up Pliny the Elder and I could, or Younger, and find something close enough. Or even just Russian River. I would love to try some of their other stuff besides the two or three I've had. I would love to walk into a tap room and be like, oh, man. I would love to try that Russian River, but I'm not realistic in thinking that Pliny the Younger is coming towards me. So, like I said, there's a handful of beers. This is gonna be like, but like overall, less beer FOMO. Like, I love trying all new different beers, but I don't want to get back into the trade game. I don't even, like, I was thinking about the other day, I was like, maybe I'll try to do one trade this year. I don't think I even want to do it. I hate it so much. It's so much fun. It's so expensive and so much work. I think I'm out of the trade game. Well, no, I don't know. The only person, in my head that kind of rattles around is Hazy from California. He provides some really good beer. Or Brendan from... and it's Brew CT something from the dude from Connecticut that I traded with last year, only because he gave fucking monsters to me. But I mean, outside those two, I mean, I had the dude Eric on Untapped, but I stopped using Untapped almost 100%. So I don't know. I wouldn't be completely opposed to doing another trade. It's just pretty low on my list right now. Okay. I think that's the episode. I've gone a hair long. My goal is 30 minutes or slightly under. Like, my goal is probably 25 to 30 minutes, and last couple of episodes have been long. That's why I tried to rush through this one a little bit, and I still got a little rambly, especially when I started talking about podcasts. I have some goals ahead of me. I think I'll knock them out pretty well, except for the podcast crew. Like, there's a couple guys on Instagram I bet I could do a podcast with, but I don't want to do it remotely. I really want someone I can meet at least minimum once a week, which is why if I do, I'm probably going to keep doing this part of it, even if I find someone to meet with on Monday to do the podcast. Either way, I think that covers it. Once again, Aging Nerds on Instagram. If you're following me before and it's Beers of Aging Nerds, it's now officially just Aging Nerds. There's another Aging Nerds _fun that I haven't disabled yet, but it's going to be, I just need to go on there and make an announcement. Be like, hey guys, I'm leaving this see me over here type thing. But right now it is what it is. I plan on being done with that at some point. So Aging Nerds, Aging Nerds, let me double check, .blogspot.com is the, what do you call this thing? Is the blog page. I need to, my goal is, like I said, more content. I want to start writing more stuff on here, and I haven't got to that point yet. And I need to clean it up so it's not just beer stuff. Same thing with YouTube a little bit more. I have some cleanup stuff to do that I'm not at yet. But Asian Nerds, just look at AG Nerds. If you look up AG Nerds, you'll find me. I think that covers it. Thanks once again, and I will see you all next time. Happy New Year, and hopefully there's another 52 of these before the year's out. Thanks.